RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engines!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host.
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:03 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening, as always. And, well, there's no NASCAR race today. In case you haven't heard, today's STP 500 at the Martinsville Speedway in Martinsville, Virginia, has been postponed due to weather. And if you have not been maybe following along on Twitter this morning, the race has not been rained out. It's been snowed out. Yes, the Martinsville, Virginia area has received, I don't know, a good 5, 6, maybe even 8 inches of snow overnight. And yeah, we're not racing today because the track and the ground surrounding the track at the Martinsville Speedway were covered in snow last night. And the race has been postponed. Actually, not only today's cup race, but the truck race, which was supposed to run yesterday, got rained / snowed out. That was supposed to run today after the cup race. That's been postponed too as well. So you've got a Monday doubleheader of NASCAR racing now to pretend while you're working tomorrow, you can, you know, flip on MRN or Fox Sports Go on your phone tomorrow and watch or listen to the race that way tomorrow, because you'll get both the truck race and the cup race tomorrow, as the race has been snowed out at Martinsville. I don't think it's maybe the first snow out in NASCAR. Actually, I know it's not the first snow out in NASCAR history, but it's the first one in a long time. Two other snow memories come to mind when it comes to NASCAR. First one was about, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. I was actually working here at the time. I was running Show Up in the Bulldog that day, and it was cup qualifying at Bristol. And I had it on in the control room when I was running Show Up in the Bulldog that day, and it had snowed at Bristol, and a snowball war had broken out between the fans in the stands and the crews on pit road during the weather delay for the qualifying at Bristol. And then, of course, the other snowed out race that I actually do remember is almost 25 years ago to the day that they ran the makeup date for it, March 20th, 1993. The race at Atlanta was supposed to be run on March 14th, but there was a massive blizzard on the East Coast that weekend, and the race was snowed out, and they had to run it a week later on March 20th, 1993. And Morgan Shepherd won that race. Morgan, his final cup win driving for the Wood Brothers. And well, Morgan is still racing to this very day at 76 years of age, trying to qualify for Xfinity Series races. But yeah, that's the last time off the top of my head that NASCAR has had a race snowed out for cup racing. And again, today's race at Martinsville also snowed out. It's pretty amazing. If you've not seen any of the tweets yet on Twitter from anybody in the NASCAR community that's at the track this weekend, check it out. Stuart Friesen, who of course is running the truck race this weekend, he was posting some videos last night. They had a street sweeper on the track, kind of, I guess, trying to move the snow. It wasn't really plowing it because it was a street sweeper, but kind of pushing the snow. And then Ricky Stenhouse and Kyle Larson had some good dirt track jokes out of this, because the way they were kind of moving the snow again. They didn't see any snow plows. I don't know if they didn't have the available plows in Martinsville to plow the track, or they were afraid of damaging the track, so they kind of were using street sweepers and maybe even some of those air titans to try and move the snow around. And they were like clearing the groove of the racetrack first and kind of pushing the snow to the outer edges of the banking in the corners. And it was almost like a dirt track because they had all the snow piled up on the high side of the corner. So it was almost like they were building the cushion of a dirt track. So, of course, Kyle Larson and Ricky Stenhouse, being the sprint car guys that they are, were throwing jokes out on Twitter about building the cushion. And actually, Stenhouse was in one of the trucks clearing the snow and went along for a ride and had some video on Twitter last night. And then also, Bubba Wallace, too, had a few pictures during the bulk of the snow. It was kind of falling right around midnight, 1 o'clock this morning is when it looked like the bulk of the snow was out. I was still up at that time seeing some of the tweets come in, and then waking up this morning to the notification from NASCAR at about 7:30 this morning that the race had been postponed. But most of the snow came during the early overnight hours and just hasn't had a chance to clear out. But the place is under several inches. Seeing shots of the grandstands also covered in snow. They need to hire some of those folks that the Bills get when they need to shovel out New Era Field. They need to do that. Get the guys with the shovels out there to clear out the bleachers there at Martinsville Speedway. And it's not just the track, too. Part of the reason for postponing the race, the whole area. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, we get 5-6 inches of snow. Yes, some people forget how to drive, but that's about it. It doesn't shut the whole community down. But down there, they're not used to getting that much snow. So the whole place the whole area is probably not shut down. It just paralyzed at the moment. Although I saw some reports that the roads weren't too terrible getting to the racetrack. Some of the media people that got to the track this morning. However, though, with the snow and falling on the trees, there's a lot of power outages in the Martinsville area. So I think another reason, not just having to get the track cleared off there in Martinsville, they don't want to take away resources from the community so they can deal with all the other emergencies that are related to this, with the power outages and maybe other emergencies. Because, hosting a NASCAR race, while the folks at Martinsville in that community has plenty of experience holding NASCAR races, I'm sure they have it down pat, a system where they, using the town's resources and the area's resources for getting people in and out of the track and everything, I'm sure they're thankful that NASCAR is postponed today so they can divert more attention to any real emergencies in their community today as well. With the snow, and again, seeing reports of some power outages, and also just a lot of the parking lots are a mess out there at the racetrack, too. So it's just, it's a bad sight, bad scene all around down there at Martinsville. So they'll try again tomorrow, and it'll be 11 o'clock for the trucks. They're going to go green just after 11. They got about 25 laps in yesterday, and then the rains, and which eventually turned to snow, came in, and they washed out the race yesterday. So they'll pick up at about lap 25 or wherever they are. And then the cup race is scheduled to start around 2 o'clock tomorrow, depending on if the truck race starts on time and how long that goes and everything. But it's crazy scene down there, just seeing all the pictures. You don't expect to see a racetrack covered in snow on race day, but it has happened. And so no NASCAR racing today. Phone lines are open, 803-0551. 888-550-2550 if you just want to react to what you've been seeing about the conditions down there in Martinsville, or just what you think here 5 races into the Monster Energy Cup Series season. Feel free, phone lines are open for you. We're hoping to try again with Robert Wickens this morning. Robert's no-showed us last Sunday, the IndyCar rookie that nearly won his first ever IndyCar start a couple weeks ago at St. Petersburg. We'll hopefully talk to him in a couple of minutes. If not, we'll press on without him. Also, at the bottom of the hour, former world champion in pro modified drag racing, Mike Janis will join us from Janssen Racing Engines out there on Transit Road. Mike having a great start to his pro modified NHRA season last weekend at Gainesville, Florida for the Gator Nationals. Went to the finals of pro mod, lost in the finals, unfortunately, to Ricky Smith, but still a great start to qualify for the field and then make it all the way to the final round and coming up just short. To maybe the one of the few pro mod drivers that are more accomplished than Mike is Ricky Smith. And we'll talk to Mike at the bottom of the hour, just get his thoughts on the start to his season. Got to ask him about racing in Qatar a couple of months ago and just maybe what's going down at Janssen Racing Engines. in Elma. So we'll talk to Mike at the bottom of the hour. You can also tweet us here this morning. We're on Twitter at FastTrack550 and Facebook.com/WGRFastTrack as well, too, for you to join us this morning. But again, no NASCAR race today. And I'll tell you what, you think Bills and Sabres fans can get crabby after a loss, or the anti-tank crowd can get crabby on Twitter? You should see NASCAR fans when a race gets canceled. There is just this level of meanness and nastiness. I mean, it's Twitter, so I guess it should be expected, but there is just a contingent of the NASCAR fan base that is just downright miserable when a race gets postponed. And just seeing some of the tweets in responses to some people, including those at NASCAR, from the announcement of the race being canceled, people just tearing them up on Twitter. It's just shameful, the tone of some of these people that that are upset that whether they were going to the race or the race was going to be on TV, and they're upset for a handful of reasons, whether it's they can't go to the race tomorrow because they have tickets today, but they have to go to work tomorrow, which is all understandable, but just the level of meanness and nastiness is just unbelievable from the NASCAR fan base on social media this morning. I will say one thing, and it is worth mentioning with the rescheduling, and that is the fact that Martinsville now has lights, too, and we haven't seen it for a NASCAR race yet. They did run their big 300-lap late model race last September under the lights. It was the first time ever. They just recently installed these brand-new LED lights at the Martinsville Speedway there in Virginia. So they do have it. Actually, I was really excited because the original reschedule time for the truck race was tonight. They were going to run it at 7 o'clock tonight. And so that would have been awesome to watch the trucks under the lights. That would have been a spectacular sight, I think, to have seen that. So unfortunately, we didn't get that tonight. So we'll have to run them tomorrow morning. But there is the question then out there, why not try and run maybe not both races Monday night, but maybe instead of running them during the day when so many people are at work, try and run the races in the evening. Maybe run the trucks or the cup race, run that at 5 o'clock or something, and then run the second race at night. So A, it's on primetime television, and B, it is under the lights for that spectacle. To see the under the lights microphone, to run it under the lights. Now, the fan in me would love to see that, but the realist in me realizes that when NASCAR is already postponing a race to Monday, it's already a loss, and the goal is just to get the show in and get everybody out of there and move on to the next one. But again, so I understand why they want to just run it early and get it over with, but it would have been fun to see that run them under the lights tomorrow. So we'll talk more about that in a minute. Right now, though, we're going to go to the hotline and bring in driver of the Lucas Oil IndyCar for Schmidt-Peterson Racing, rookie in the Verizon IndyCar Series, Robert Wickens, joins us on the line. Robert, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning.
How you guys doing?
Doing great. First off, just congratulations on a great start to your IndyCar career. Although you didn't get the finish you would have liked, still awesome to qualify on the pole and lead the most laps a couple weeks ago there at St. Petersburg, and just a disappointing finish, but still a great way to start off your IndyCar career.
No, you're right. I mean, there's still so many positives to take away from it. Obviously, as a driver, you want to get that win at the end, but it's, I think for my debut race in IndyCar, I think it went very well.
I think the most amazing thing was that when you won the pole on Saturday, a lot of people didn't know your name, but by the end of that race, and then the fans chanting for you as your car got towed off at the end of the race, what a... it was almost like a movie, I guess you could say, the way people got behind you, and after finding out who you are and cheering for you and everything, that had to be quite a feeling just to see everybody get behind you with your performance.
Yeah, honestly, it was incredible. I mean, I've always heard that the IndyCar fans are so passionate and so supportive, and racing in Europe for the last better part of a decade, and racing in DTM with Mercedes, they also have some good fans, but there's something different about IndyCar, you know, like, it was actually kind of funny. Like, I was walking back to the pits, and I just wanted to be mad. And then everyone was just chanting my name and, like, clapping for me, and it was, like, putting a smile on my face. And I was like, guys, like, stop. I want to be mad.
Yeah.
It was honestly such an incredible experience. I mean, I've never felt that. I've never had kind of a whole grandstand chanting my name before, which, you know, it brought goosebumps.
Yeah, it was great. I guess somewhat better end to your day than how it was going. And like you said, it put you in a good mood and got you out of being upset. But obviously, upset with the way things turned out as you and Alexander Rossi got together there on the last lap. It's been a couple of weeks. Have you tried to reach out to Alexander? Has he tried to reach out to you? Have you guys tried to talk things? Or are you going to maybe wait till next week in a couple of weeks at Phoenix to talk to him?
Well, you know, like the problem with racing is it's such a close-knit community.
Sure.
You know, you can kind of relate it to a sibling.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna have your things here and there, your arguments, but you're still gonna sit at the same dinner table and have a meal. You know, you might not talk, but you'll be there. it's tough because Alex and I, you know, I have a lot of respect for him off track.
Mm-hmm.
I don't particularly respect what he did on track in that scenario, but you know, I think in hindsight, I think he could have handled himself a little bit better in the press. He did send me a text, which I wouldn't say was a heartfelt apology, but he definitely kind of acknowledged what happened. But then he was just turning around in the press and still blaming me, which I didn't particularly appreciate. So, to be honest, we haven't really spoken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's ironic. We train at the same gym, and for some reason, our schedules haven't synced, so we actually haven't trained with each other since St. Pete. But it's, I'm sure we're going to get over it. I'm sure it's going to be, you know,
sure,
the past and move forward. But it still stings every time it comes back up.
I understand. Robert Wickens joining us, IndyCar rookie here on WGR's Fast Track. Back to the on-track performance, Robert. Were you surprised how well you performed last week? That you would just be able to get right in the mix so quickly in your first race? Was this an expected outcome, qualifying on the pole, leading the most laps? Did you think maybe a week before St. Pete that you could accomplish that going into your first race?
It definitely wasn't expected. I'm a believer of don't expect anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if you have expectations, you're kind of setting yourself up for failure if you don't achieve it.
Sure.
So my whole thought process going into my rookie race was I was just going to live every session, you know, do the practices, do the, you know, debriefs, work on the car, just kind of run through the thing that needs to be done and kind of take it step by step and just enjoy it. You know, you only get one first IndyCar race.
Sure.
I just wanted to take everything in and just, regardless of how something happened, just to be positive and to be happy and just kind of just live the whole experience of your debut IndyCar race. And luckily the pace was there, which made it a lot more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
But to answer your question, like the week before St. Pete, did I expect to put it on pole and lead the most laps in the race? Absolutely not. But I know I'm a competitive driver. I know I'm a good driver, and I had some faith in my team, and I knew we had a chance.
Yeah.
I was just hoping to be competitive, and I had actually made two goals for myself ahead of the race weekend. And one was to finish in the top 10,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't do, and the second one was to finish every lap of my rookie race, which I also didn't do, unfortunately.
Right.
But you know, but that's just one of those things. Like, you set goals for yourself, and you know, sure, I didn't achieve the two goals I had set, but I also surpassed unthinkable things.
Sure,
I qualified pole my first race and led 70 of 110 laps.
Yeah,
you know, it's even though I ran 109 of the 110 laps.
Mm.
Almost got there.
Yeah, Robert, you maybe have a little bit of an advantage because you didn't drive the. You don't have much experience with the old IndyCar, the old Aero package that all the veterans have, so you maybe didn't have to make the adjustments that those guys did coming into this year with the new Aero package and everything. But with that being said, how much from your experience in the cars you race in Europe and the DTM, how much of your driving style did you have to adjust getting behind the wheel of an IndyCar this year compared to what you used to drive?
Well, the thing about race cars, which I think the average spectator doesn't understand, is understanding the tire
mm-hmm.
and getting the most grip from the tire as a driver. It's like this unknown science.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like having, you know, I joke around and saying, you know, tires are like a needy girlfriend. You know, you'll do something right and you'll get grip in one corner, but you don't know what you did. And you can't really do it again, but, you know, the tire liked it. So you're like, oh, great. and you keep doing that. And then also you try to do the same thing again and it doesn't work. And then you have to find a new way to get grip from it. It's the thing, like, as a rookie this year, the universal aero kits are definitely, it's one less disadvantage that a rookie has.
Yeah.
We still have to learn the track. I'm still trying to learn the car fully. I feel like I'm not fully on top of it yet. But I think one thing where the veterans have a massive advantage over the rookies right now is just the tire knowledge of knowing what these Firestones like to go quick. And coming from where I've been in for the past 6 years, it's a 100% different philosophy of how to drive the car. And it's a constant adjustment. I'm constantly, before every turn, thinking of how I'm changing my method of how I like to drive to better suit the tire. And then to add another fork into the mix, you know, they, on race weekends for qualifying and for the races, we get a red compound, softer, faster tire that wears off quickly. But we don't get to run that all through testing. So my first time ever using that softer tire was in qualifying in St. Pete. And luckily it worked out there, but who's to say at the next one I might get it wrong? So it's tough. You know, definitely not having to adjust to the new car. It's like the rookies, we're just learning a new car.
Gotcha.
Having to rethink how the IndyCar likes to drive.
Yeah.
We're learning the IndyCar like everyone else. So in that sense, it's one less disadvantage. You know, I've been saying that all along. I don't think it's an advantage for us, but it's definitely one less disadvantage for a rookie because it's just one equal playing field that everyone has to do.
At least your tires can't text you what are you doing when you're hanging out with your friends, though.
Yeah. Where are you? Aren't you home yet?
I know time is short, but real quick, going into Phoenix ISM Raceway in a couple of weeks, I know you probably lack experience on oval tracks compared to some of your fellow competitors, but you've done a test there, I believe, and a test at Texas. How comfortable do you feel with an oval track setup going into Phoenix in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's a work in progress. You know, I'm definitely a lot more confident on the road courses because it's just what I'm most used to. And until the Phoenix Open test that we had in February, I had never even driven a lap on an oval in my entire life. So it was a new experience. But needless to say, we got through the programs, and I'm getting there step by step. But hopefully the race weekend goes well, and I think that's another one because I'm treating Phoenix as kind of my first IndyCar race again because the oval is going to be so different to what we did in St. Pete. That I'm kind of just, again, going to take it step by step and kind of take it all in, and hopefully I can look back on after the race is done Saturday night and have a smile on my face.
Last thing before I let you go, of course, your team, Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports, has partnered up with New Era this year, and they're headquartered right here in Buffalo, and I believe you and your teammate, James Hinchcliffe, were here a few months back doing some designing some merch and some apparel. What was that experience like working with the folks from New Era?
It's incredible. I mean, everyone there, you know, I've been a hat guy my entire life. Love them, wear them all the time. And obviously always New Era because they're the king of hats as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Partnering with them was huge, and getting invited over the first week of January to see the headquarters and go see the flagship, get a tour of the place, you know, the building that it's based in. It's so cool, so unique, the old Federal Bank.
Yeah.
And we got a tour with a historian and kind of like run through the paces of what the building was, and seeing, you know, all the designers, how they kind of make the sample hats. The store that they have there is phenomenal. And, you know, I've been to Buffalo a few times because I'm just a huge hockey fan. Sometimes it's way cheaper to catch a Sabres game than just to catch a Leaf.
Oh, you're one of those Leaf fans?
Not against the Leaf. We'll just kind of like every now and then my buddies will try to get down to Buffalo and just watch a hockey game because we just love the sport. So I do think that the Leafs are playing Buffalo on Monday, aren't they?
Yeah, they play like four times in like a month. There's still two more games at the ACC between the Sabres and Leafs.
Well, hopefully, hopefully it'll be a good little rivalry.
I went to, what was it, a week, the last one here in Buffalo, and when the Sabres scored, I was the only one in my section standing up cheering because it was all blue and white around me.
It's insane. Like, Leaf Nation is just expanding. You know, you watch any game in Florida, and there's more blue and white than there is any other jersey.
Yeah.
The only one where it blends in is Tampa because they're all blue and white.
Yep, you're right. Well, Robert, I appreciate the time on an off weekend. Next time you're coming to a Sabres game, you know, shoot me a tweet. I'll buy you a beer. And good luck at Phoenix in a couple of weeks and the rest of your rookie season. Look forward to maybe seeing you up in Toronto later this summer. And best of luck here throughout your rookie year.
All right, thanks. I'm definitely going to take you up on that.
All right, sounds good. Robert Wickens, IndyCar driver for Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports, pilots of Lucas Oil, number six for Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports, who are partnered up with the folks at New Era Cap, and one of those Canadians that buy all you, for all you Sabres season ticket holders, he's one of those guys that buys your tickets. That is... that they come to town to watch those games. All right, we get back. We'll switch from... rights and lefts to just straight line racing because we're going to have Mike Janis, Pro Modified driver, joining us up next here on Fast Track.
Hey guys, this is Trevor Bain, driver of the number 6 Ford for Roush Fumo Racing. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
11:34 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. I just got it. Very good, Mike. Let it snow. I'm like, what is this classy music he's playing? And then I finally heard the tune there just as I started talking. Yes, NASCAR snowed out in Martinsville, Virginia. And during the break, sliding into my DMs, as the kids like to say, Michael Printa for Watkins Glen checked in via Twitter saying he's at the track this morning and he is watching the snow removal. And he says, not as good as the racing. And I had to ask if he was giving a... Martinsville track president Clay Campbell some tips on how to shuffle out there. And actually, and Mike's messaging me back trying to confirm this, but I think the Glen had a race not too long ago where it snowed. They had it late April or a May. It was probably a late April race. It wasn't one of their major events. It wasn't definitely not the Salem 6 Hours and obviously not the NASCAR race, but they had a sports car event, I believe, not too long ago that it snowed during it and they were racing in the snow there. Or it might even been like an October race or something. I'm trying to remember, and maybe Michael messaged me back here before we're off the air. But the Glen had some snow. But luckily for Michael Printup and the folks at Watkins Glen, I think snow will be on the least of their concerns for their GoBowling.com at the Glen race coming up in August at Watkins Glen International. But Michael says he can't remember either. But I'm pretty sure that not too long ago they had a some kind of road race in the last couple of years where it had some snow. But they were able to race on there at the Glen. 11:35 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Dave Buchanan and WGR's Fast Track. 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. We'll hear from Mike Janis here in just a moment. Forgot to ask Robert Wickens. Cool to catch up with him and talk some hockey there, too. Of course, Robert from Toronto, just like his teammate James Hinchcliffe. But forgot to ask him about big news for IndyCar this week. They've got a new TV package for 2019, and all the races will be on NBC and NBCSN, which is one of their current partners, but a handful of races are still on ABC, ESPN, including the Indianapolis 500. But this will be the last year that the Indy 500 will be on ABC, because starting in 2019, the folks at NBC we'll be taking that over. So some big news for IndyCar. We'll talk more about that in a minute, but right now let's go to the hotline and bring in from the NHRA Pro Modified Division. He is, of course, heads up Janssen Racing Engines out there on Transit Road. Mike Janis joins us on the line. Mike, it's Dave Buchanan. Great to talk to you once again.
Good morning, Dave. How you doing?
Doing great, and just wanted to get you on here. And first off, just say congratulations. What a great start to your season last week there at Gainesville, Florida, the Gator Nationals, going all the way to the finals and unfortunately losing to Ricky Smith there in the finals. But I guess if there's one guy in the field that you might want to lose to, it's a guy like Ricky, who's just as accomplished as you are when it comes to pro modified racing.
Yeah, he's definitely a good racer. We're just so excited about the whole season coming up. Right from our winter testing and the tire, so it's just really, so far, turning out really good.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that in a minute, about going to Qatar. But first off, just last weekend at Gainesville, huge field of pro modifies. What was like 30, 40 pro modifies? And just to make the field alone, Mike, that had to be a huge accomplishment. I think you qualified sixth overall. But that was a stout field of cars last week.
Yeah, that's about the most cars I've seen since like 2001.
Mm-hmm.
The field, there was probably out of the 35, there was 30 cars that could have made the show. And you know, at any one given time, it was definitely a slugfest for first round, you know.
Yeah. That pro modified racing, you talked about the number. You haven't seen the numbers like this since 2001, as you said, but that division has really, like you said, it's come back to prominence. It's really taken off. It was getting a lot of attention. I was watching some preview videos on NHRA.com leading up to the event, and there's just a lot of excitement surrounding the division. Can you figure out why it's become so popular here over the last couple of years?
Well, I think the every, you know, you have the turbos and nitrous and the blower, and we're all really, really close. They have the rules pretty close. The fan base, I think, for Pro Mod is greater than any other class out there.
Mm.
It's just it's exciting to watch, exciting to drive for sure, but just to watch, to see a turbo against a blower and run neck and neck and have a good race, where years previous, I think you know, the turbos dominated, blowers dominated, you know, nitrous, you know, so on. But it's really close racing. I mean, every round, like Ricky went, Smith went, you know, 580 every single round. You know, he was the guy to beat right there. You know, just a very consistent car.
I wonder if maybe some of the changes to Pro Stock have kind of maybe taken some fans away from that class, and maybe you found a few more fans in Pro Modified just because the fans didn't like some of the changes they made to the Pro Stock cars.
Yeah, I'll agree with that 100%. They definitely lost some fans when they switched over to the fuel injection. But like I say, the fans are, you know, incredible. I mean, our following with the Western New York fans is just, you know, it's unbelievable, actually, you know, that we can draw that many fans that aren't even associated with racing that pay attention because it's a, you know, local guy doing it, you know. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. So you mentioned going to Qatar. First off, just for the fans that don't know, how did you wind up going out to the Middle East and Qatar to do some winter testing a couple of months ago? How did you land there besides taking the airplane to fly over there?
Well, last year we had gotten a sponsor for 2017 from AAP, which is Allen Hobby Performance.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a series over there in the wintertime that, you know, a 4 to 5 race series. This year it was 4. At, you know, they haul in cars, fly them over, and they have their own cars over there. And they put a race on. I mean, it's second to none. The racetrack's just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
So he asked me if I wanted to go, and well, sure, you got to, you know, give it a try once, and it was definitely an experience, and love to do it again.
Did you do I don't know what you could do for sightseeing out there, but what did you do maybe while you were relaxing out there in the Middle East?
Oh, very little of that, believe it or not. we had 3 days off in the 5 weeks that we could actually went and did some sightseeing, you know, different malls and beaches and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a pretty, you know, if you love, you know, a racer's dream to just race and test every day. And, you know, naturally we had to work on the car. That was a, you know, a job. But just to be able to stay there and race and, you know, every single day, you know, the weather was consistent, you know.
How was it tuning the cars? I'm sure the folks you worked with there at Allen Hobby are used to running engines out there, but what was similar to like how you would maybe tune a car to run somewhere like Phoenix, Arizona, or how was the atmosphere compared to tracks you run in North America?
Actually, the weather, the barometer and the weather conditions were very close to what we have here.
Okay.
Being a little bit drier at times, but no, it was, you know, 1,500 feet of corrected altitude. You know, I mean, it was pretty darn close to, you know, when we came back and went right to Orlando testing. You know, it was wasn't much different. Track was killer though. Every, you know, every run that they had the track prepped, and you know, naturally you don't have the cars running like you do over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the track was in tip-top shape every single every single run we made, which was good. You could test stuff and not have to worry about the racetrack.
What's up next for you on the NHRA schedule, or what other events have you got coming up?
Well, April 21st, 22nd is Houston, Texas, and then the following week, the back-to-back race is Charlotte. So we got a few weeks off, and we'll be right back at it those 2 weeks there, and just really looking forward to getting the car back together and fixing our little mishaps we had in the final round there.
The Pro Mods don't run the four wide at Charlotte, do they?
Yeah. We will be running the four wide.
Oh, okay. What do you think about that, running four abreast like that?
Not a real big fan of it, just for the fact that, you know, you're trying to stage the car, and you have the other guy far left. You can't see him, what he's doing to, you know, and last year we basically got burned down on the line. Just no one's fault. Just he had a guy that wasn't staging properly, and the car heated up, and it's not good. You know, I just personally don't care for it.
Okay. Lastly, do you have any? Have you talked to the folks at Lancaster? You got any local dates on the schedule? Maybe later on this summer.
I don't yet, but sure would love to get out there again. I mean, it's nothing better than getting out in front of the local fans and, you know, giving them a show. We showed up once there last year when the Street Outlaws were there.
That's right, yeah.
It's just awesome, you know, with the fan base that's in this area. You know, and it seems that the last 2 or 3 years, the drag racing and circle track at Lancaster has really come back good, and I think that is part of the management that's going on there. But it's coming back good, and it's really great to see.
Yeah, definitely, and I appreciate you stepping up last year, helping us out with that Street Outlaw show, and one of the guys couldn't make it. I wasn't there, but the photos look cool of your Pro Mod next to the El Camino there. That was a nice shot, but thank you for helping us out with that last year. Last thing before I let you go, Mike, what did you think about Jim Oddie's induction into the Drag Racing Hall of Fame recently?
Oh, it's absolutely, you know, he deserved it. You know, the guy's been there forever, and he stopped by, him and Freddie, at Gainesville, and we had a nice conversation. Through the years, we're great competitors, and it's just great to see him get the award. You know, well deserved, sure.
Very good. You guys, some of the greats that have come from Western New York, and you guys, and Dan Fletcher, and Dave Schultz in motorcycle, and just Mike Swinarski, just some of the guys that have gone on to big stuff on a national stage that came right out of here in Western New York. Mike, appreciate the time. Again, congrats on the great start at Gainesville, and best of luck the rest of this year on the NHRA trail.
Okay, Dave, thank you so much.
All right, Mike Janis from Janssen Racing Engines and the NHRA Pro Modified Division. Appreciate his time this morning as he got off to a great start, as he said, making it all the way to the finals at the Gator Nationals last week. We come back, we'll wrap up this week's edition of the program. Still squeaking, squeezing a few phone calls, 803-0551, 888-552-550. We'll talk briefly about the start of the Formula One season and their not-so-great start with TV fans here in America. We'll talk about that when we get back here on WGR.
Hi, this is Kurt Busch, driver of the Haas Automation Monster Energy Ford Fusion. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
11:50 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Dave Buchanan wrapping up this edition of Fast Track. No Fast Track next Sunday. Of course, it'll be Easter Sunday, so have a great Easter with your families. We'll be off. NASCAR will be off, so enjoy the Sunday off. We'll be back in 2 weeks here on Sunday mornings on WGR. I was at Sportsman's Tavern last night over there on at Grant and Amherst, and I'll tell you what, I don't know, they might be the only establishment in Buffalo that has a Dale Earnhardt Sr. Mural on the wall behind the bar. It was just my second time there, but if you ever go to Sportsman's on the lower level there, the ground floor bar there, there's a big Dale Earnhardt Sr. mural on the backside of the bar. I don't know if that was there put up by the people that run Sportsman's or if that was just there when they opened the place, but still it's a really neat thing they have there behind the bar. But had a great time, see my friend Scott Cellini and the great Paul McCartney tribute show they had there last night. Also Matt Young, who works here at Entercom, part of the Scott Cellini band, great job with them and Beatle Magic. great time out last night, but I'd only been there one other time, but forgot they had the big Dale Earnhardt mural behind the wall there at Sportsman's. Finishing up the point about the NBC new TV or the IndyCar deal with NBC and their new TV deal, as I was saying, the Indy 500 will be on NBC starting in 2019. That ends one of the longest sports TV partnerships in history. The Indy 500 had been on ABC since 1965, and even before that, they would show clips like on the Wide World of Sports. So, and the only TV sports event that's been on the same network longer than the Indy 500 on ABC is the Masters. It's been on CBS since I think the late 1950s. So this was the second longest partnership with the Indy 500 and ABC. So they will it'll be all on NBC and NBC SN next year, with a handful of races on the Peacock network, including the 500, and then NBC SN picking up the rest. And they're going to have all the qualifying and practice sessions on their app, but it'll be the NBC Sports app. But you'll have to pay extra for that or something. I don't know. They'll announce it, I'm sure, next year. But great for IndyCar. They found a full-season TV partner. Not that their deal was terrible with NBC and ABC kind of splitting the rights these last couple of years, but it was kind of obvious that the NBC presentation was much better than the ABC presentation. Although, as much as I love Alan Beswick, I'm not a fan of Eddie Cheever. Scott Goodyear is okay, but Eddie Cheever, and their shots of the wives and girlfriends in the final laps of the Indy 500 are kind of annoying too. So I got mixed results on social media, seeing some responses to my tweets about that earlier in the week. Some mixed results, including, but many IndyCar fans kind of happy that the Indy 500 will not be on ABC starting in 2019. Speaking of TV deals, though, Formula One has a new home in America, ESPN, and it made its debut this morning, I should say, not last night, but this morning in the wee hours, as Formula One kicked off their season in Australia. And ESPN is, instead of the NBCSN that's done it for the last couple of years, they've done a great job with their own broadcasters, including the great David Hobbs and Lee Diffie, calling the races. ESPN and ESPN2 are kind of taking the cheap route, and basically they're carrying it, but they're not they didn't hire their own broadcasters, and they couldn't even get Bob Varsha to do it. They're just taking the Sky Sports feed out of England and just putting that up, the simulcasting that here in America. So apparently it got off to a rocky start. I only caught the mid part of the race. I didn't see the beginning, but apparently the first 20 minutes of the broadcast were full of technical difficulties in the opening stages, and a lot of people were kind of disappointed that there was no American-based broadcaster, even if it was guys in a studio calling a race, which is what NBCSN would do. They wouldn't send people to the races. They would have them broadcasting in their studios covering the race, except for they'd have one pit reporter that would report in from wherever F1 was at. It was just strictly the Sky Sports feed, so a lot of people were kind of disappointed with the coverage and were really upset about the technical difficulties, and even ESPN this morning released a statement apologizing for the technical difficulties, and they'll continue to work on their package. But we'll see how it goes with the F1 back on ESPN. The race for itself, Sebastian Vettel got lucky with some strategy late in a race and a late race caution with our virtual safety car period, I should say, and picked up the win over Lewis Hamilton. Ferrari getting two out of the three podium spots, with Kimi Raikkonen finishing third, Daniel Ricciardo and Fernando Alonso rounded out the top five. Tough day for the Haas F1 team out of America. Both Roman Grosjean and Kevin Magnussen, the part of the race I watched, were battling for top five positions. And then all of a sudden, within a span of two laps, both cars dropped out of the race with mechanical issues. So a tough start of the year for the Haas F1 team, which again is owned by Gene Haas, which is half of Stuart Haas Racing in NASCAR. Fortunately, a rough start of the year for those folks. But no surprises there on the podium with Vettel, Hamilton, Raikkonen, and Bottas finish eighth, so not a good run for the Mercedes, but you had the couple Red Bull cars, and Alonso had a good day too, finishing fifth. So good to see that result there. It's the Formula One kicking off their season. So, and again, that is now on ESPN. Not sure. Actually, I was talking to Roger Christian, who, if you don't know, Roger Christian over at Star 102 is a huge F1 fan, if you didn't know that. And he's trying to find out when they're going to replay the race so he can catch it. I didn't spoil it for him, which I've famously done on this program with Ron Fellows. Thanks for listening. Good luck if you have to try and hide watching the race from your boss tomorrow, which I'll be doing. But hopefully they get both races in tomorrow. And wish they could do it under the lights. I was so looking forward to that truck race if they were going to run it tonight under the lights. I think that would have been awesome. But that'll be something we'll have to wait for another time to see one of the top three series of NASCAR racing under the lights of Martinsville. Actually, my ultimate dream would be the modifieds, of course, going back to Martinsville and racing under the lights. That's what we really need to see, is a modified race back in Martinsville and under the lights especially. Thank you for listening. Have a happy Easter next Sunday. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks here on WGR.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.